This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by... Just listen to the episode. You'll figure it out.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, May the 4th, 2016.
This May the 4th be with you all.
Thanks for cutting me off. I was going to say that.
I know, I cut you off because I wanted to say it.
All right. Happy Star Wars Day to you all. And we're not talking Star Wars Day. I know that's probably weird, but I just happened to end up on the 4th. But it's episode 1510 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
Terry Weaver's going to be joining us for listener questions later on. We have a special guest, though, sitting in today, and that is Kyle Froman. He's connected via Skype. Kyle, are you there?
I am with you guys. Always exciting to come on with both of you.
Thanks, Kyle. Kyle obviously is our friend, colleague from Off to Neverland Travel. You know them as our sponsor. But just earlier today, Kyle sent me a message about something, and I thought it kind of sparked an interesting conversation, which we get questions a lot about, which is how you make Disney part of your career, your Disney love, your Disney passion, your fandom, part of your career, part of a way to make a living. Just like this podcast, people talk about, you know, how can they do that? Well, we have this podcast and we get sponsors like the great people at Off to Neverland and other sponsors that come in each and every month and help us make this, if not our total career, and it's not, we'll just be, I think we all be frank with that. Some people have made it their total career, though. We had John Panda, Big Fat Panda. He was on. He is a, you know, I don't know what he would call it, but a social media guy, does a YouTube channel, video content. Corinne, who is an Instagrammer, who's going to be out at our DLP Fest. A lot of these people, this is what they do for a living, and they're able to come up with unique creative ways to do that while kind of it being big part of their Disney passion and love. And I think we're going to bring more people on, like Kyle, who has an opportunity for some people to talk about that, because I think that's those are kind of two questions we get. I get a question of how can I start a podcast and any tips, and then also how can I make Disney fandom part of my career. So I think this would be an interesting opportunity, as Kyle did reach out with something a little different. I know for the last 3 months, 4 months, whatever, we run ads since January. We've been promoting for people to obviously book through Off to Neverland. We offer travel packages and all that. But we also been talking a lot about magic makers. And some of you are out there, may know what that is, may not know what that is. But I kind of want Kyle to explain another way that people can take the opportunity to kind of make Disney not just a part of their life as a fan, but actually part of a way to generate income.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the neatest things about it, and you alluded to it a little bit as well, I believe it was Confucius that said, if you do what you love, you'll never have to work another day in your life. And we're all looking to take our passions and the things that excite us and the things that we really enjoy and make that a bigger part of what we do in our day to day. And we think as magic makers, we're affording that opportunity to people all around the country to do just that, to take this passion for Disney destinations, to take a knowledge that they have about something they're excited about and live it out day to day and not only just get to enjoy it themselves, but to share that with other people. That every day you get to talk with families and individuals and groups that are wanting to experience Disney destinations, and let your passion connect them with it in a way that it never has before.
I like the way you put that, because that's kind of what I feel like we're doing here with our podcast. A big part of the Disney community is telling stories. And on the podcast, while yes, we may have joke kind of themes and talking about what we would really want at Disney, but at the same time, we are expressing a little bit of our personality and the things that we like and the experiences we've had at Disney. And so that's really what gives us the drive to be able to podcast. And I feel like that's what you're saying is kind of it's two sides of the same coin, even being a magic maker or a travel agent, is that you get to really invest in people and tell those stories through that type of work.
Absolutely. And it's fun getting to tell those stories. I mean, what greater storytelling brand is there than Disney? And for us to come alongside them and help them tell their story in unique ways is just really, really exciting. And beyond that, we all have dreams of being our own boss and owning our own company and setting our own schedule and all of the things that come with that. And we afford Magic Makers the opportunity to do just that, to own their own company. They come alongside us as independent contractors. So in essence, they become an entrepreneur as well in this world. You know, it takes drive, it takes commitment, it takes sacrifice, it takes knowledge, it takes all of those things. But when you're doing something you love and are passionate about, it really doesn't feel that way. It's an exciting journey.
Yeah, we have fun every day doing this podcast. I mean, we've recorded 3 or 4 times this week doing the podcast, and Will has to edit it. But for me and Terry, at least, it's a lot of fun to
Fun, though, because I get to listen back to the stories and I get to take away different things.
Take away
things
the bad stuff
that
we said.
Yes, that's mainly it. But no, I get to take away different aspects of the stories, because sometimes when we're in here, you know, we are having a conversation, I forget little things that have been said. And
it get your next point out.
I almost have that experience that you and Terry don't get to have, because I get to revisit it in a little different way.
Yeah, we know Terry doesn't actually listen to the show, so it's fine. when it comes down to it, though, look, I know this as someone who was a Disney fan and not involved in the Disney community when it comes to A Way to Make a Living. We made a movie about Walt. But beyond that, I got married at Walt Disney World. So even since then, people kind of, and look, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here. You guys know. You're probably the Disney person in your family and in your friends. They come to you to help plan their vacation already. They come to you for tips and tricks. And look, I get it every day from people that are coworkers that come up and goes, yeah, I think I'm going to go down in January, and I'm going to make this arrangement here. What do you think? Are these good days? And I have to pull out a crowd calendar and I start talking to them. And I realize I'm doing a lot of the work that a magic maker or something would do. Or even, this is just a kind of off story. One of our friends, his wife is sick in the hospital right now. And I texted him, hey, man, we're praying for you and your family. And I got a text back. That's great. Thank you so much. By the way, we've been listening to the podcast. And, you know, what are your thoughts on mid-June? people are always planning their next Walt Disney World vacation. So for that sort of Disney expert, I put expert in kind of air quotes here, is that something you're looking for? What are you looking for when you guys are looking for magic makers? And like you said, maybe you can explain that, because I didn't even really fully understand or know some of the notes you sent me about it being an independent contractor, not being part of this. Do they have to have a test? Do they have to go through things to go through that process?
Yeah, primarily the main thing that we're looking for with a magic maker is someone that's excited about Disney destinations and knows, the destinations very well. It's more than just, hey, I like Disney, because we have a brand that prides ourselves in making experiences for our clients and our customers. So we want magic makers that can make those experiences happen. You can teach business, you can teach sales, you can teach all those things, but you can't teach passion. So we want people first that are passionate about Disney destinations. Beyond that, there's the nuts and bolts of someone that wants to go into business for themselves. They have the drive and the desire to make something happen. Having some background in sales and sales expectations and experiences is always a plus. Proficiency in communication, being able to talk with and interact with people on a professional level. People that, while you have flexibility as an independent contractor, you also have to be reliable and available. So people that have those two things. And people that are driven to do this more than just a hobby, but to actually make a career and make a living out of it, are those that really succeed at this the most because of that professional drive to do something with it.
Yeah. And some of this, I don't want this to sound like, and I know you guys are listening, some of you may think this just sounds like a 20-minute ad read. What this really comes from is that Kyle reached out to us probably a few months ago and said, hey, it's kind of interesting is that we're hearing not just from listeners that are booking, but we're hearing from listeners that are interested in being magic makers. And that kind of put us, it's almost something we never really anticipated or thought of, that people are out there listening saying, I want to be not just the Disney expert in my family, but can expand that part of their group. And we see that in podcasting too. Look, if you look up Disney podcasts, there's thousands of them. I mean, or not thousands, let's say 1,000. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of them.
Yeah, for sure.
On every nuance, there's Haunted Mansion podcasts. There's podcasts on specific things. And a lot of that just is due to, look, can you make a living doing it? Absolutely. Is it an easy climb? also not. You know, the guys came before us, did a lot of the heavy lifting to get us where we are today. So I'm not going to like come in here and say that we're podcasting experts. But what I can say is, though, if you're passionate about something, it's a way to start spinning off of it. If you're in Orlando and you're a vlogger, you like doing video and stuff, there's people out there that are going to want to help you, you make Disney part of your life.
And to follow up on that, Logan, I think one really important thing about whether it's looking into becoming a magic maker or to podcast, yeah, things like that, is sometimes you can get caught up in the planning of, okay, what am I going to do? What's my step? What's my next step to get ready to podcast or ready, yeah, to be a magic maker? Really, the one thing I've learned from you especially is in the podcasting realm, or in even reaching out to Kyle at Off to Neverland, is to just do it. Like, if you're passionate about Disney and you think you've got a good take on it, just start recording that podcast. Start today and, you know, then work out the details of what exactly it's going to be. But get something down, and then you can start to really formulate your voice and your idea that way. And I feel like that's the same for becoming a magic maker.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this right now in a phone or on a computer, you have the ability to do it.
Exactly.
So if you're smart enough and you're technologically savvy enough to listen to a podcast, you are probably technologically savvy enough to create a podcast. Now, it may not be the crispest sound, the best quality, without spending a little bit of money on gear, which is why, you know, sponsors help and all that. But you can still record something. Look, go look at this show for the last 10 years before we stepped in. It was four guys connected via Skype. They had good mics, but yeah, but the connection was not like crystal clear. It didn't matter. The show was just great. Mm-hmm. And people love the show, including myself. So that's not a huge deal. You could tell the passion that came from those hosts. You can tell the passion that come from us. Look, I'm doing right now a podcast on the side. Got, yep, the side hustle going on for Halloween Horror Nights called A Scare Zone. And that's just because it's something I like. And I connected with a couple buddies who also, through the internet, people I've never met in real life, who also like it. We've just kind of been able to share that. And we're talking to sponsors now. We're only two episodes in. We're starting to hear from people that are interested in doing meetups and doing things. Because people, there's a lot of like-minded people that are interested, especially if you can create a unique spin on it. And with Kyle and Off to Neverland, and look, this can be said. Look, we definitely encourage you to connect with Kyle and connect with the people at Off to Neverland. But I'm sure this can be said. I'm sure a lot of you are travel agents, and a lot of you are doing this. Trust me, I get friend requests every day, and I see, oh, this person works for so-and-so travel or does this. But what makes, I guess, this situation different is Off to Neverland offers a little bit of a different point of view when it comes to the way that they employ. And that's kind of, is that kind of fair to say, Kyle?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I'm sure there are other travel agencies, yeah, that also do independent contractors.
Yeah.
We're just, you know, excited about our model. We're excited about the training that we give to magic makers. You know, not to go too philosophical, but to say that we're created passionate about things for a purpose is very true. But not knowing what to do about that's not an excuse to do nothing. So we try and engage with people to take that passion and find their purpose when it comes to Disney destinations. We engage with them and show them how they can use it to provide experiences for other families while pursuing something that they really love. So we've got in place a Magic Maker University, which is a curriculum that they go through, learning not only about Off to Neverland travel, but about Disney destinations and about other providers, because we do more than just Disney destinations. So giving people the breadth of that through the course, it's just something we're excited about, and we want to help other people who have the passion learn how to apply it as well.
So I guess then the next step would be, what's the first step for someone listening today who says, you know, for us, for being a podcaster, we told you, start recording, start creating, get it on the mic. And look, honestly, if you have questions, I am more than willing to help people. Email me. You know, you can find my contact on our WDW Today website. Email me, tweet me, Facebook message me. You know, I'm a busy guy. I got lots of kids and world is crazy, but I'm happy to help people. But for when it comes to, and that's not just podcasting, entertainment in general, it's what we do for a living, television, mm-hmm, film, radio, everything. But Kyle, when it comes down to it, for the people that are interested in becoming a magic maker, and maybe you can even kind of define what that means from a less easy way to say it. You know, like, is it that it's essentially, I know travel agent is probably the bad word, and it's not really the word we're using, but it's not necessarily a travel agent, but it's an associate. Is that kind of how it is? And then what's that first step?
Yeah, so magic maker is our term for travel agents. The reason we use magic maker is that we believe we're so much more than just a travel agent. You know, a travel agent And I don't mean this to be a knock or a slam to anybody, because I believe there's others that are serving their clients really well. But we use the term, we use the term magic maker because we believe we're more of a concierge for our guests. We're that person that's coming alongside them, learning about their needs, what they're hoping to accomplish with their trips, and guiding them through the whole process. So we're creating magic, and we wanted something different. Disney doesn't call their employees as a knock, but just because they feel there's something more to their brand, their cast members. So we didn't want to have just travel agents. We have magic makers that are making magic. Those that want to do it would do what the rest of them do. They hit our website, go to neverland.com. Under the Our Story dropdown, there's a link that just says become a magic maker. Click on that link, and all you do is submit your name and email, and then we send you a packet that explains a little bit more about what becoming a magic maker truly looks like, how compensation works, how breakdowns work, how the whole thing comes together. And from that point, they can make the decision to walk through our application process. Right now, we've got around 130 magic makers serving all around the country, and we're always standing with arms open, helping others start the journey to be magic makers as well.
So typically, the question and answer here is, what do you got to do? And I say, all you got to do is pack. But with this, it sounds like all you got to do is submit your name and email address.
That's perfect.
All you got to do is click. So great, Kyle. And we'll definitely link that, guys. If you're on our podcast, you can probably find it through our website, or we'll put it up on Facebook and Twitter with associated with this direct link to there. But I think that's the easiest way. Go to neverland.com, click Our Story, and then click Become a Magic Maker or something like that. Is that what it is, Kyle? What is it called?
You got it.
Become a Magic Maker. And it's a great way. Look, that's a way to start. And the only reason I bring this up, the reason we didn't just do this in a one-minute ad read, is because unlike, you know, probably, or like most of you, I'm doing this already. Now, I honestly personally don't have the time with our jobs to do this, and I would if I did, but I know my wife has considered it. People have considered it because you're that go-to Disney person in the family. We know it. If you're listening to this, you're kind of one of two camps. You're the person planning your next trip to Walt Disney World and you genuinely want tips, or you're the person who yells at us through the computer because you have a better tip than we do.
And which is probably frequently.
I did it back for the other guys, so I understand that. So go to neverland.com, go through that process. If you want that to be your next step, and we're going to feature people. I don't want you to think this is just off to Neverland. We're going to feature people from time to time that have made Disney part of their career, because we find it very interesting. We've made it part of our career, and it's opened the door up to thousands of people that are also doing the same thing, like a travel agency, like Off to Neverland, or whether it's someone who does a podcast, someone that does, like I said, keep bringing him up because he's just a buddy of ours, whether that's Panda who's doing that, or whether that's a guy named Bart Scott, who's a friend of ours, who does, he had a book called Ears of Steel that's become a podcast. He's a good friend, and you're seeing him do ancillary products and things that are related to that book, become an author. There's a lot of ways to do it. Theme Park Press, all these companies that really embrace the Disney expert who can take it to the next level and become financially somewhat dependent on what goes on.
Logan, for the first time, became a fashion designer with the Adult Whip shirt. So even think about things like that. There are many ways that you can incorporate this into your life, just that, and you know that.
And first time to your knowledge.
It is so, that's probably more accurate. Yeah.
They don't know what I go by.
This is a very community-based community. We call it the
excuse me. Well,
that's absurd. It's a
community based community.
The Disney community is just that. It is a community, and that's why we get feedback that's negative, positive, and it feels more like a dialogue, not like people are frustrated or upset. Like, it's just that's how it is, because we are always just discussing things, and we know that you want to discuss with your friends, with your community, Disney at a different level. Then go ahead and do that.
The experimental prototype. Community of community. Kyle, thank you so much for being a part of it. And again, go to neverland.com. Any final words for our peeps, our listeners?
No, just that. How's that for showing the love?
Exactly. No, this is how you know this is not just an ad read, because it was totally not. You got anything else? Nope.
Nope. That's
not,
about
nope,
it.
Nope.
In that moment, I'm trying to keep my cat off of the keyboard to disconnect the call. So I'm like, nope, just hang up. Let's move on.
All right.
Now, thanks for letting me be a part of the show. Thanks to your listeners for letting us ramble a little bit today. And we hope to meet them, whether it's planning experience for them, letting them plan experiences for our clients, or just saying hey in passing.
All right. Thank you so much, Kyle. You got anything else, Will?
That's all right. I've got.
We'll be back with listener questions with Lynn and Terry coming up right after a word not from Off to Neverland. All right, I had to take a break. I want to talk to you about our friends at touringplans.com. You know Lynn. Lynn's going to be on the show in just a second. He calls in. He started this show back a decade ago. He calls in. He answers all your listener questions. He knows a lot. The reason he knows a lot and what he's been able to do, look, we talked about this. He's been able to take his love and expertise for Disney and also turn it into a career with Touring Plans. You know, Touring Plans, it started probably as just a passion project. We got to have him on one and talk about this, how Touring Plans got started, because it's a business. That's what he does for a living. What he does for a living is assist people in their Walt Disney World vacation, and not necessarily as a travel agent. It's something completely different. But you got to get on it. Look, that crowd calendar is going to save your life. It saves my life each and every time. I rely heavily on it, but there's so much. There's a view of all the different rooms. Look, you've heard us all talk about Touring Plans. You know the service they offer, and Lynn wants to offer a special deal for our listeners. So use the discount code POD, people 2016. That's POD, POPLE 2016. Do that, and you will get 15% off your next subscription to touringplans.com. And now, back to the show.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
It's that time again. It's time for listener questions with Lynn. Lynn, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
That's good.
Terry, can you hear us?
That's true.
I can hear you.
If you hear a degradation in quality, that is because Terry decided to step out for a smoke.
He got a digital voice box implanted into his brain.
He actually likes it better the way it sounds on Skype.
Yeah, he's in the next room. He just I kind of like Skype better.
Yeah.
So, just Skype in from across the hall.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to walk around and make his way over here. Too lazy, Terry. All right, let's move on to some questions for today. Will, you got one, or Terry, you got one? Who's got one?
I've got one from Taryn on Facebook from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Quick question for the listener email show. Well, Taryn, you've come to the right place. Does each person on the dining plan have to use their own credits, or can you mix and match them among your family and distribute the credits whatever way you like? I see the way she's going here. She and her husband are trying to take their children's credits. E.g., in a family of four Disney, quote, adults comprised of two foodie parents and two picky teenagers, could the parents use all the TS credits and then the teens use all the CS credits? Thanks for your expert advice. Taryn, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Obviously, TS is table service, CS is counter service.
Correct.
Lots of abbreviations there. There's one that's coming up that's even better. All right, Lynn, you know the answer to that?
Yeah, of course you can. You can use them any way you want.
So you paid for them, you can do whatever you want with them. That's a pretty easy way to answer it. And I do feel like two foodie parents and two picky teenagers is a new show on Freeform. All right.
I will say this about the dining plan. We got creative with a dining plan, and the only place we ever had trouble with it was the Lynn, what's the name of the restaurant downstairs in France?
Chef de France.
Chef de France. That's the only place we ever had any issue, and they got very, maybe it was just part of the act to give us that whole French rude thing.
But, they're just rude. You know,
yeah, but they figured it out. It was definitely a little awkward, but they were able to figure it out.
Technically, kids ages 3 to 9 have to order from a kids menu if they want to. If you're trying to assign, adult credits to kids, but the servers aren't going to care. Most servers know exactly, and most servers will work with you to maximize the value of your dining plan. I know there are rules, but then there's how it's actually implemented in practice. So. I wouldn't worry about it.
I do have a quick question for Terry. What creativity did you try to do at the restaurant that put them in a kerfluffle?
Well, it's so French. First of all, they're French.
Yeah.
We could stop the answer right there, right?
We tried to use them.
So we had two rooms booked at the Beach Club as DVC members. And in one room, we had the deluxe dining plan. And in one room, we had the regular dining plan. And so we were using the regular dining planning meals on the places where we really didn't care if we got an appetizer or not. And then we had, so that way we could kind of spread the counter service. It was just a way to kind of stretch the dining plan, and it worked fantastically. But it just, the only place that we ran into an issue was there. And we had, you know, two adults in one room and two adults in another. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. I was just wondering.
Will thought you were booking the kids dining just for the heck of it.
Yeah. I didn't know what was going on, man.
All right. Moving on. This is an email that came in from Ken. Ken says, "Hi, great job on the new show from a longtime listener of those other guys and Lynn. Yep, I have a touring plan subscription. Well, thank you very much. We are planning a late April 2017 trip. First time staying on property in a long time. Normally exchange into nearby timeshares, non-DVC. We're looking for an on-property resort, which would be good for our 18-year-old high school senior and wife and I." Or his wife. The writer's wife and I. His 18-year-old is not married. "The kicker is that we might also have my other 21-year-old son with us for some or all of the trip, and my teenage daughter for a few days. This is a high school band trip, so she won't be staying with us until after the band part is over. Any suggestions? The three kids would all want their own bed, but of course my wife and I can sleep together, so that means four beds. Art of Animation doesn't sound like it would work bed-wise for us, plus I think they're too old for that one. One to two-bedroom villas are too pricey. Any suggestions on just getting two rooms?"
I don't even think you could do two rooms unless you want one of the kids to sleep with the parents, right? Because, I mean, you could have four beds. You have three kids.
Well, three kids, I guess, two parents. Well, yeah, you're right.
So two parents take up one bed. I guess they're
just basically looking for four beds. They're not necessarily saying that the parents have to have their own room.
So you can get two connecting rooms, you know, pretty much anywhere. The thing I would look at, though, is renting points on a two-bedroom villa. And the reason for that is that it's somewhat less expensive than booking directly through Disney for cash. Or you could also look at a one-bedroom and then a studio, or, you know, some combination of rooms that'll get you four beds. But roughly speaking, it's about $14 a point when you rent them. And it brings those things more in line with the cost of, you know, getting two rooms at, say, a moderate or a deluxe resort. So I wouldn't say it's too pricey until you consider all the options.
Yeah, definitely look at all the options. You're 18 and 21-year-old, even if they don't have connecting rooms. I mean, I feel like, you know, give them a little space. Come on now.
The other thing you probably want with three kids is you want two bathrooms.
Yeah.
You know?
At least.
Yeah, and that's why I like the villa idea better. You know what also might work? Saratoga Springs Treehouse Villas.
I've never stayed in one of those. I've never even physically seen them. Are they pretty good? I've tried to talk my wife into it multiple times. She always looks at the pictures and like they kind of freak her out. I don't know why.
Yeah, I get it. So there's a master bedroom with a king bed and a separate bath, and then there are two other bedrooms. One of the bedrooms has bunk beds, but I mean the kids all sleep in bunk beds. That's fine. The other one has either a queen or a full mattress, and those two bedrooms share one full bathroom. But it's on the complete other side of the treehouse, and with a living area and kitchen in between. So it's a really great layout if the kids want to stay up late or watch TV or whatever, and the parents want to go to bed or vice versa. It is a little remote, but in terms of value for money, it might be something to look at, especially renting points.
Yeah, whenever I hear like you have to get a golf cart and go here to there, I'm always like, this is not. I don't know if this is for me.
Yeah, it is a hike, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hopefully that answered your question for you. Unless anybody got anything else. Nope. All right. Facebook comment. Let's. Will, I want you to read the one from Jennifer Jones.
From Jennifer Jones. "Will TIW save more or less than the DDP? We always plan a TSQS snack, usually. are on the DDP. I don't know much about TIW, and I want to know if its benefits outweigh buying the DDP. So if you're buying the Diamond Dallas page, stay away from the TIW." And
bang. Let's rephrase that.
Today's show is brought to you probably in part by acronyms.
Yes. So we have, I'll try to read it. How about that? You want me to try to read it? Or you think you got this? Do you have it? If I asked you to break that down, could you break it up?
I know DDP is Disney Dining Plan.
Okay. What's
TS is table service. QS is quick service. I don't know TIW though.
Tables of Wonderland. So let's just rephrase it then. Will Tables in Wonderland save more or less than the Disney dining plan? We always plan a table service, quick service, and snack, and usually are on the dining plan. I don't know much about Tables in Wonderland and want to know if the benefits outweigh buying the dining plan. So let's take a breath.
Man, it depends.
Yeah, totally.
But so the first thing is if you've already got Tables in Wonderland, that saves you the $100 cost of actually buying it. So if you don't have it, you've automatically got to include the $100 in Tables in Wonderland in the cost. Tables in Wonderland will save you 20% on most of the things that you buy, sometimes including alcohol. But when you use it, they also include back an automatic 18% gratuity. So realistically, you get the tip for free, and then you save 2% on the meal. The dining plan makes sense in a couple of very specific scenarios. If you're staying at a moderate resort and you're able to get the full dining plan and you're using it primarily for character meals, it totally makes sense. If you order more expensive things from the menu, the steaks, the lobsters, you know, the seafood, stuff like that, it makes sense. If you're ordering the salads or the, you know, the plain chicken breasts, it doesn't make sense. So really, if it's if you've got Tables in Wonderland and you're ordering the most expensive things on the menu consistently, including drinks, including appetizers or desserts that aren't included in your Disney dining plan, yeah, I think the break even is like $600, something like that. Otherwise, you know, if you're doing lots of character meals, not a lot of alcohol, and you're able to get especially free dining, then the dining plan makes sense. It really comes down to what do you want to eat?
Yep.
Is the answer.
Yeah,
Jennifer, what I would suggest you do is do the dining plan, but steal some of your kids' points, sprinkle them on top of your salad at Le Cellier, and then you're good to go.
That's how it works.
Yep.
There you go.
Lynn, what are your thoughts? And this is just an off question. What are your thoughts on the – have you had time to investigate the free dining deal this year?
Oh, it's so limited this year. Yeah. There's only a handful of dates for which is available. And I was getting calls from travel agents at 6:30 in the morning. So it opened up at 4:30
yep.
on Monday, last Monday. By 6:30, I was hearing from travel agents who said everything that they're asking for was booked.
Yeah, that's the same we've heard here from Off the Neverland. They did tell us to make sure people know they do have some openings, but that is going fast.
Yeah, and it's super limited. The one like Beach Club, I heard the only thing left that was qualified for free dining was like a 2-bedroom suite for $9,000 a night or something like that. I mean, just something insane. Like, oh, and we'll throw in the food.
It's like that touring plans vacation.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's like they threw out the free dining to say, look, we still did it, but yeah, really.
But it's so limited, yeah.
Is that going away, you think? You think they're slowly phasing that out that way?
I think they still use it. Number one, it's so popular that that they have to do it. But what I've heard is this from travel agents. A number of people will book in January, assuming that free dining will happen and their travel agents will be able to get them the rate.
After the
fact.
Some
of them, right. And some of them will actually say, well, you know, by the time April comes, I've already paid so much into the vacation, I might as well take it anyway. And so from Disney's perspective, if more people would cancel the vacation after free dining was announced because they didn't get what they wanted, that might be a better signal to Disney that free dining is more important. But I think so many people will just say, yeah, we'll go anyway, that it's kind of mixing the message there.
All right. Well, that's just my – I just in general just had a question about it. I know that a lot of people are asking about free dining in general, so I just want to make sure that was covered. Guys, you have one you want to take? You want me to take one?
I want Terry because Terry – typically tries so hard to say the last name. So I want him to take David's question.
I'm looking. Oh, wow. Yowzers.
That's not nice.
I mean, to me, it looks pretty straightforward. So.
Yeah, I think I can nail this one.
David Zakarski?
Sure.
Am I close?
I thought it was David
Zakruski.
Zakruski. Yeah, it looks like Zakruski.
I'm going to go to the old pronunciation website. Zakhovska.
I don't know if that computer website's right.
Hold on, wait. That was with an A.
That old computer website.
Hold on, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get it. I don't have it. Zakhovska.
All right. David.
David, sorry. Go ahead, Terry.
David said just returned home on April 18th from the Dark Side Challenge weekend, and he had attempted to request a room via fax on Touring Plans. Is there something we did wrong since we didn't get the room we requested, or any of the other options that we filled in on our fax request? I believe that there were around 8 other options. We requested Takalau 3914, and we were in Pago Pago 2119.
Which are my favorite stormtroopers in Star Wars.
Come in, Takalau 3914.
Pago Pago 2019, you're not at your station. So and Len, if you don't want to answer this, let us know.
He
didn't get the rooms he wanted requested. It was during obviously a very popular time to travel. So, you know, thoughts on that?
Yeah, the most common reason for not getting a room is somebody's already in it. That particular room, 3914, has it's a corner room, third floor of Tokelau, has a beautiful view of panoramic view of the Grand Floridian. I totally understand why that entire section of Tokelau would have been sold out. In fact, on touringplans.com, let's see, there's at least 7 people that have sent in photos of that. So apparently the word is out that that's a great room. My sense is that's the most common.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at the view right now. Very nice.
Yeah, right. That's kind of nice. So,
well, good gracious. Room. Come on, yeah. David Z.
And that's probably it. I mean, it's what I've talked to room assigners at the Poly and then at other resorts, and by far the most common reason is that the next most common reason is that you've asked for something you didn't pay for. It doesn't sound like that happened. Those things happen. I'm sorry you didn't get the room you wanted, but I hope the rest of the state was still okay.
I hope Pago Pago 2119 was still up to standards.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm gonna go back and look at that. Pago Pago 2119.
Oh gosh, there's a dumpster. Just kidding.
It's a view of another person's room. Like a New York apartment. All right.
Yeah, we call this the New York apartment view.
Yeah, what is an apartment? It's a view of another wall, the brick wall. I don't know if you've ever had the brick wall view.
And you have like the boiler steam shooting up past the window.
That was my apartment in New
York. 2119 is not bad. It's a second floor, you know, garden view room. It's fine. It's not the other one.
It ain't no Takalau 3914, if you know
no,
what I mean.
No, it's not, but that's all right.
Sorry,
I don't have any tattoos, but I'm pretty sure if I ever got a tattoo, it would say Takalau 3914, so people would ask me, what's that?
It's like a little barcode symbol, or a QR code or something.
That when they scan it, it's just that room
that
view.
Can you believe this is a room view?
Hey, Len, could I get some sort of like sponsorship from Touring Plans if I got a QR code that was just a direct link to that room view?
It was like a T surrounding.
Oh, we would definitely work something out, yeah.
Fair enough.
It's in the budget. It's in the budget.
So,
yep.
Since I'm the DVC guy, I've got a quick follow-up question. It's actually from Jamie Hagel, and they wanted to know if there was a room request process for DVC members, just like a regular room.
Well, Terry's gone. The person was asking, is there a room request process for Disneyland DVC, right? Yeah, I believe that's a question.
It would probably work the same way. We don't actually have it on the site, but you can always fax in your request or make it online or, you know, call in like you normally. I would do it again 5 days in advance.
You're just not doing it for them. So
yeah.
All right, that'll do it for today's show. Thanks to Lynn Testa, Kyle Froman for chiming in. Let us know what you think of this show. Let us know if you want this. You know, I like the idea of exploring other people that make Disney their career, including us, including Kyle, including Lynn, so many other people that, you know, make this part of their day-to-day. They're 9 to 5, if you will.
I would say beware of asking us about podcasting because we will not stop talking. We really enjoy
we have a lot of
this
fun.
Show to you guys.
We have a lot of fun with it. And obviously, there's someone who made Disney part of their career in the most direct sense, but has now moved on to even better things, touring around the country, doing so much stuff. And that's the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Visit their website, offkilter.net, for all the latest details. And again, you can check out Touring Plans. So, touringplans.com. That'll do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes. Forget those other guys.
Yeah. We'll talk to you on the next show.